Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. I just want to go to that verse and actually give you a basis for the church, okay? And what did God do when we get saved? What did God do after we were baptized? All right? Let's read together 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verse 13. Ready? One, two, go. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be born or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Okay. Before we became Christians, all right, we were unsaved. Okay, in other words, we were separated from God. Okay, the Bible says all men are sinners when they are born. So, which means that they need to come to understand that Jesus is the only way to heaven, because the Bible says, John 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man will go to God the Father except through Jesus Christ. It is not by good works, it is not by religion, but it is by Jesus Christ himself. But after we have become Christians, after we have trusted Christ as our personal Savior, and then we made a decision to be added to the local church, in other words, we'd be baptized in water and then be added to the local church, Paul actually says here in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, by one Spirit, the Spirit refers to the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit. Are we all then baptized? The word baptized means immersed in water into one body. One body. Whether we be born or free. In other words, last time in the book of 1 Corinthians, there were two types of people. The slaves and those people who are slaves owners. Okay? And they are very particular last time because slavery was a very real part of life. So when there are people who are slaves, sometimes they will be looked upon as second class or third class. Does that make sense? Like, for example, sometimes in Singapore, unfortunately, sometimes people may look on the foreign workers as, no, they are second class. Okay? And we need to be very careful. I think our government wants to kind of integrate them because we need the people. But at the same time, in the first century Roman time, slaves were really looked down upon. But when you become a Christian, Paul says there's no such thing anymore because we are all baptized in the same Spirit. We are all one, okay? So as far as God is concerned, the church shouldn't have any division. That's why we have Filipinos, we have Indians here, we have Chinese. We are all one as far as God is concerned, okay? So in this particular verse, God actually says whether we be Jews or Gentiles, doesn't matter what race you're from, okay? Once we have trusted Christ and we've been immersed, we are actually made to drink. The Bible says, have been all made to drink into one Spirit. The idea of making to drink into one Spirit doesn't mean to like drink something. The idea of drinking means we are all joined together. We are all one, all right? And so that is the basis of unity. So last week, we actually talked about some of the obstacles to unity, and these obstacles can occur in families also. These obstacles can occur in schools also, and these obstacles can also occur in the church. Okay, so we're going to do how can we individually preserve the unity, and then how we're going to also preserve the unity as a church, as a whole group. All right, let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Okay, for those, it's Corinthians, then Galatians, then Ephesians, and then Philippians. Okay, Philippians chapter 2. Okay, let me just read verse 1, all right? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Paul begins chapter 2. We must know where he's Paul. Paul is actually in prison when he's writing this. He's actually in prison. He's in prison for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like in many countries of the world, Christians get killed, put into prison for preaching the gospel. So Paul was in prison. But as Paul was in prison, he wasn't thinking about himself. Okay, he was not thinking about himself. He was actually thinking about the church. Okay, and he was thinking that the church, hey guys, you guys need to be united. And he says, if you want to give me any consolation, if you want to give me any comfort, I want you to think about this thing. Verse 2, okay? The Bible says, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Okay? I'm just going to go through. There are many principles Paul actually brings out here in the Bible verse that we can practice that will help us unite, all right? Individually, okay? So let's go through some of them. Paul says, if you want to make me joyful, number one, be like-minded, verse 2. Fulfill my joy that ye be like-minded. The word like-minded means be of the same opinion, be of the same wavelength. Have you ever spoken to someone you just cannot connect? You know, so in Chinese they say that duck and the chicken is talking. Different languages. Not just different language, but same. Sometimes can be same language, but different wavelength. Different wavelength, okay? Paul says, firstly, be of the same opinion. Be of the same opinion. Number two, be of the same love. Same love means the way I would love you will be the same way you love me too. Okay, and sometimes it's hard because we're all different personalities, different way of thinking, and we will not be able to love someone one time, sometimes 100%. But you know, you do your best. But Paul says, be of the same love, one towards another. And then, number, in verse 2 or so, being of one accord. What does one accord mean? The word one accord means we have the same mission, have the same aim. And that is so important. Individually, my aim is to do this. And if your aim doesn't square with my aim, we need to think, okay, how can we then still decide? Number one, the aim must be based on the Bible. Number two, when the aim is based on the Bible, how can we then converge and aim for that one thing? Okay? I always like to use the army because the army or the Air Force, they're very focused. Okay? They may be thousands of soldiers, whenever they come in to decide upon how they fight, they will put, the mission is to hit this place, destroy, capture these three enemies, or whatever. So everyone that is sitting down in the room, regardless of what they think, regardless of what they feel, regardless of how they are at the moment, that is the mission. Okay? And everything is done to fulfill that mission. Does that make sense? And that's the idea of being of one accord, all right? And it's so important, the family needs to be united because there's a mission in the family. There's a mission in the church. There's a mission in the school. So, Paul is actually telling the church, look, be of one accord, have one mission in your mind. In other words, you don't come to church with your own agenda. You come to say, Lord, what do you want me to do as part and parcel of your local church, okay? So then after that, he says, be of one mind. The word one mind means thinking the same thing. Kind of like same opinion. Opinion is something you hold on to. But even as you are talking, even as you are working together, individually, we need to be thinking the same thing. If my thinking doesn't square with yours, I don't force you to think my way. I will have to listen to you unless whatever the opposite parties is. We have to come to a place whereby God actually gives us a unity of the Spirit based on His Word and what He wants to do and based on the authority that God has given to us. Okay, so these are the 4 points in verse 2. Being of like-minded, same opinion, same love, one mission and thinking. Look at verse 3. Paul goes on to tell the Philippian Christians, remember those who just came in, we are doing, how do we individually preserve unity in the church? Okay, how do we individually preserve unity? So be like-minded. Number 2 in verse 3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. The word vainglory means meaningless pride. Meaningless pride. In other words, don't do something just because you want it that way. Selfish pride. This is my way, therefore, this is what we need to do. That's what Paul says, don't do that. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. The word strife there means don't do something because you want to fight. My way is mean. I must tell you what I think. All right? Now, there's a difference between telling us what I think or telling what God thinks. There's a difference. Okay? For example, if the policeman come and say, guys, I'm sorry, you have just broken the speed limit. There's 79. You were on 79. There was one time, to my shame, many, many years ago, right? many years ago when I was a pastor, I was caught for speeding, okay? Being honest. The policeman, you are 79. I said, no, I wasn't speeding. The policeman said, nah, you look at the speedometer, their own speedometer. You know, they have this speed guns, and it shoots, and it shoots back, it's 79. So I got nothing to say. They say, I have two choices. Say, yes, sir, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Or, You can say, no, like your speed gun got problem. It's not me, it's your problem, you know. The traffic police in Singapore, what they will do is this. That's what I learned. My job is just to give you the ticket. You're going to settle it at Maxwell Road Police Station. I'm not going to discuss with you. Okay? You see, when someone with authority comes and says certain things, you know what our duty is to be? Just be in submission to that. Okay? And that's very, very important. All right? Now, coming back to this, but we don't do something for striving, just to fight. Okay? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but Bible says, but in lowliness of mind. In other words, keep a humble mind. What does keeping a humble mind mean? The second one, how to keep a humble mind, Paul actually tells us in verse 3, in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than himself. In other words, you know what? I'm not going to force what I think. If you think that way, fine. I'll respect that. I'll leave it. And I'll think you are better than me. That's what Paul says. That in a Christian church, we actually think about the fact that I will esteem you better than me. Okay? I will esteem you. Now, these are in things that are not sin, in things that are, you know, in general, like, say, for example, maybe for a buffet, we want to order chicken versus mutton. And you think mutton is bad. Say, okay, let's have mutton. Yeah? I'll let you have your way. All right? It's different with sin, and offenses is different, okay? We have a different way of dealing with that. But let each esteem other better than himself. That means the principle is this: always think of others as better, more supreme. The word esteem others means I will actually look at someone as more supreme than myself. I will always think of someone better than myself. And that's hard, because we're all proud people. Yeah? We're all proud people. That my way of upbringing, my way of thinking, you know, Paul actually says, look, if you really want to fulfill, I want to say this. When Paul writes this, he writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That means God actually says it. If you really want to fulfill God's heart of joy, think of others better than yourselves. Think of others better than myself. Okay? So Paul actually says, let each esteem others better than himself, meaning always think of others better, more supreme, and more excellent than ourselves. In other words, the thinking is, I wouldn't actually say you are like me. I would actually say I'm like you. In other words, I am imitating you. In other words, I'm putting you as a standard, not me. Okay? The standard is ultimately God's word. Okay, and we have to pattern ourselves after God's word. Alright? Any questions? So already in these two verses there are 8 principles. Okay, number 1, individually to preserve unity, I'll just go through again. Be like-minded, be of the same opinion, be of the same love. Have one mission. Have one mind in terms of our thinking. In verse 3. Don't do something because of selfish pride. Don't do something because we want to fight. But keep a humble mind and always remembering to actually say, you are better than me. You are better than me. That Paul is talking in the general context of the church. Okay, there are other principles for pastors, for deacons, for whatever. But generally, we have to actually have this attitude. You know, even in a family. Of course, in a family, the father is the head. Mom is also helping the father run the family. Children have to be listening to the parents. Okay? So if the parents say something, the children say, no. The Bible says you must think of yourself worse than me, so I'm better than you. No, you cannot think like that. There's that submission to authority. However, here, Paul is talking generally that when we interact, we must always have this attitude that you are better than me. You know, if we have that attitude, we will have no offenses. Because we're always thinking the other person is better. Alright? So, in terms of interpersonal relationships, that's not to say that in some situations we cannot discuss, okay? There's always a good way of doing it. But Paul goes into the attitude that even though I may think it's the best way, I may just let it go because someone else thinks so. And it becomes an offense to the person if it doesn't, okay? So, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Any questions? Paul goes on in verse number 4. He gives some more principles. Okay? Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. In other words, don't just think about ourselves. Very hard, right? But the Bible says don't just think about yourself. The Bible never say don't think about yourself. That's a very important distinction. Some people say, wow, you mean I don't think about myself. No, the Bible never said, but Bible says, don't just think about yourself. You have to take care of your own needs. You've got homework to do, you've got things to do, right? But look at what Paul says here in verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also. What's the meaning of also there? It means that I will think of my own things, but I will also think of what you need. Does that make sense? So it is not a selfish type of thing. We all have our duties to do, our work, our studies, or whatever. When Paul says, don't just focus on yourself. Don't just focus on your own duties. It's so important principle that Paul says, but think also on the other person. Look also on the things of others. Do all you can to help the others. There was one particular deacon in a particular church many years ago, about 20 years ago that I was in. He's someone who doesn't tell other people what he does. All right, but I was talking to another, I think it was the pastor of the church, and he was just sharing with me how this particular deacon, the next day was his medical exam. He spent his time painting the church because he wanted to do it. He was there to help paint the church. Okay? But the next day was his exam. Even though some people, yeah, you want to do, maybe he studied already. But you know, how many of us would do that? My exam is tomorrow. No, I've got to study for my exam. I cannot come. No, this deacon say, I'll paint the church. Paint the church. No? Some people say, he can do it another time. After the exam, then paint. No, he did it because there was a time set. He gave himself to that time. He came to paint the church. I think I share with you such instances because it gets stuck in my mind. And God actually encouraged me and challenged me that he didn't just think about himself. How many of you have painted houses before? You know how long it takes? But you know, he was willing to spend the time giving it to God. To some people, it may just be a small thing. But you know, he wasn't just thinking about himself. He was thinking about the church. Church needs to be painted. I give myself to that. Okay? He did very well. Okay, he's a very actually well-known senior consultant now in Tan Tock Seng. So, and he's a Christian, someone who gives himself. This is a small thing, but you know, this is something which, you know, as Christians we need to learn that we don't think about ourselves only. Only that means we do need to take care of our own needs. That's what the Bible says. But the Bible says, look, have some thought for other people as well. That's what Paul is driving at. All right, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul goes on to give three more principles, which is added here. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In this particular verse, we are told to think like Christ. Yes? Think like the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 15, verse 1, let's turn there. Romans 15, verse 1. Romans 15, verse 1 to 3. Okay, let me just read that. Remember, the point is, if you want to jot down, you can just write down. 1 Corinthians, you move backwards. Or the Philippians, move backwards. Romans 15, verse 1 to 3, the Bible says, we then that are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. Paul was very clear on that. If you see someone that is weaker, don't please yourself. Help the person first. Okay, that's what Paul says. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Because this is how Christ taught, verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself. You know, Christ is the king of the universe. You know? He's the one who created the heavens and the earth. There's no other God but the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, he didn't think about himself when he came to die on the cross for us. That is the way that Paul is teaching us to think. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Number one, we need to think like Christ. And so based on Romans 15, verse 1 to 3, number two, we need to learn to serve one another. Okay? Romans, then Corinthians, and Galatians. Okay? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Okay, those verses, I believe, is in your notes. Galatians 5, 13. Galatians 5, 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. In Galatians 5, 13, The Bible says this: "For brethren, you have been called to freedom, liberty. When the Lord Jesus Christ saved us, he set us free." Is there someone there? Who is that? Oh, no. The auntie. Maybe? Oh, okay. No, she's still here. Oh, okay. Oh, there's someone else just... No, just coming from everywhere, amen. Just coming from everywhere. Yeah, No, God is so good, amen. Just coming from everywhere. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, let's get back to this. The Bible says, Galatians 5:13. "For brethren, you have been called unto freedom, liberty." But you know what? Don't lose this freedom for an occasion to the flesh. In other words, don't allow the fact that you are free to do what you want to do. Paul said, don't just do it that way. Think of someone else first. You know, I might be free to do something, but I don't do it because it may hurt someone. Okay? And at one time or another, we'll all be guilty of that. But you know what? We need to learn to serve one another. Put one another first. By love, serve one another. You see out there? How? What's that? Oh, okay. Okay. Okay, I hope she's not in trouble. No. Galatians 5:13. Okay, serve one another. Let's turn to Colossians 3, verse 15. One more principle, thinking like Christ. Colossians, Galatians, Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 15. Colossians 3, verse 14 and 15. Okay, let me just read that. Above all things, put on charity. Above all, you know, this is an important passage, okay, for us to learn as a whole. I'm just telling you what Paul says. Look at verse 12 first. Verse 12. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." The word elect refers to the fact of Christians. The word elect is another name for Christians, okay? "Put on, therefore, as Christians, holy and beloved." Put on what? "Bowels of mercies." The word "bowels" there means in the middle of your body. That has to do with the heart. Heart of love, mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Forbearing one another. The word forbearing means to tahan. Alright, let's put it this way. We need to learn to tolerate one another because we're all different. Forbear. "And forgive one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do we." We need to learn to forgive. Okay, we need to learn to forgive. Okay? "And above all these things, put on charity." You know, we can tolerate. I want to give you three parts. How we can be a Christian that will be able to think like Christ. Number one, learn to tolerate each other. Okay, that's what Paul, forbearing. Basically, tahan. Okay? Just tahan one another. Alright? But you know, Paul actually goes on to say, don't just tahan one another, forgive one another. If you just, a lot of people say, I just tahan him. You know, in the office, you tahan this person. After a while, sure, volcano one. You just tahan on him. But Paul says, step one, tahan. Step two, forgive. The word forgive has to do with something that you give that the other person don't deserve. Because the other person did something to you. The word forgive comes from the Greek word, root word, grace. I give you something you don't deserve. I forgive you. Okay? But you know, it's interesting though. It appears from this verse, it's not enough. There's one more step we need to go. Because I can tolerate, I can forgive. I can tolerate, I can forgive. But I may still harbor that in my heart. Okay? Okay? Yeah, that's right. Keep smiling. Okay, I can tolerate the person, I can forgive the person, but you know what? The heart may not still be changed. In other words, I forgive you, but don't let me see you again. Have you heard of that before? I don't want to see you again. Sometimes it's hard. We take time. That sometimes in our flesh it's so hard. But you know what Paul says? Step one, tolerate. Step two, forgive. There's one more step, verse 3. Part 3, verse 14. "Above all these things, put on charity." You know what That means Paul actually says tolerate first, then forgive. The last one you have to actively put on already. Because the last part is the hardest part. The last part is where it makes a difference between a Christian who tolerates and forgive and a Christian who wants to be like Christ. You know what pulling on charity means? No matter how you hurt me, I forgive you. And I buy you a 10-course dinner. You say, what? After all you did? Yes, I'll go. The word charity means unconditional love. In other words, I don't care what you have done to me, I'll still love you. Whoa. As a Christian, when we are able to do that, we pattern ourselves like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's so hard, isn't it? Sometimes because of our pride. It's like, what do you mean buying a 10-course dinner? I'll give him 10 cents or so, cannot. After all that he's done to me, you know? And we have this. You know what that really is? We've been hurt because we have been. We're proud. And you know, we really need to say, Lord, if you can forgive me of all the sins I've done to you as the king of the universe, Lord, help me to learn to forgive my brother. And this is so important. This is individually what we need to do. Put on that charity. Okay? Put on that charity. I'm not perfect on that. We need to all keep on working towards that. Amen? And that's where we need to encourage one another. Really encourage one another. Because sometimes we fall flat on our face sometimes. Because we can't do it. And by the way, you cannot put on God's love if you don't have God in your heart. You cannot put on God's love if there's not the Lord Jesus in your heart. You cannot have a mind of Christ if you don't think about Him, if you don't, you're not a Christian, okay? So this is very important. Any questions? So this is some of the individual things we can do in order to preserve the unity of the church, okay? In Philippians chapter 2, let me just go through again. Any questions? Let's just quickly go through, okay? Be like-minded, have the same opinion, have the same love for one another, have one mission, one accord, Philippians 2 verse 2, and be of one mind, have the same thinking. Oh, that's so hard. Because we're all individuals, okay? Verse 3, don't do something out of selfish pride, vainglory. Don't do something because we want to fight, strive. Keep a humble mind by lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Always think of the other person better than ourselves. And then in verse 4, don't just think about our own things. You know, one thing I've learned, if you ever want to be a servant of Christ, this one thing I learned, I read this book many years ago by Oswald Sander on spiritual leadership. He said, a genuine spiritual leader will think this way, we have no rights except to know God's will. We have no rights. In other words, people can step on us, people can do anything to us. Our heart is so dead to ourselves. The only thing we need to do, because as a servant of Christ, Lord, what do you want me to do? Does it make sense? Okay? And it will take time to grow into maturity in this. Take the notes over there. Yeah, you can. But can I encourage us as we look at a united assembly to work towards that? Say, Rajani, that's very hard for me. I know. It's hard. Sometimes it's hard for me, us too. But you know what? That's where we need to pray together. That's where we need to work together to encourage one another to take those steps of faith. Because otherwise, I can tell you, two things will happen. Number one, we will never grow, and there will continually be division. Okay? If we know that this is God's church, then we need to work towards that. Any questions? So these are some of the things we need to do on individually. And let this mind be in you, verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. I just read. I won't go into a lot of detail. Just read what Jesus did. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 and verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6, sorry. Let this mind be in you in verse 5, which was also in Christ Jesus, verse 6. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That means Jesus, being God, didn't think that something was taken away from him. Okay? When he became a man. But in verse 7, notice that he made himself of no reputation. He made himself of no reputation. And took upon him the form of a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Why even death of the cross? You know, you can die a thousand ways, but to die crucified is the most shameful thing. Because number one, you will be paraded publicly. Number two, you'll be hung on a cross for all to see. Number three, when the Romans crucified the criminals, they crucified without their clothing on. Complete shame. Okay? And so, but you know what? Jesus was submitting himself even to that kind of humiliation. Now he doesn't care about himself. And became obedient unto death, verse 8, even the death of the cross. In verse 9, therefore God highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Oh, Christian, help us. May God help us to have that kind of thought that, you know what? Not I, but Christ. Everything is Christ. Everything is Christ. Everything is Christ. If he asks me to bear, I'll bear. If he asks me to take, I'll take. But you know what? If we have done something that is caused that particular thing, we need to also deal with that ourselves. But you know, the mind must be very clear. Lord, help me to be like you. Okay, this is what we individually can do. Any questions? Now we want to go on to the next one. How can we corporately as a church preserve the unity? All right, there's some things individually we can do, but the second thing is what we can do corporately. All right, so let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. There's seven things we need to do personally. Corporately as a church. What do we need to do now? Firstly, we talk about individuals. All right. Hopefully, our mind is. And it's interesting, Paul, when he talks about what we have to do individually, it always has to do with the inside. It's not what we do outside, but what we do inside. Okay, being united, etc. Okay, now what can we do corporately to preserve this unity? All right. Number one, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4-6, we need to realize our oneness in Christ. Our oneness in Christ as a Christian. When you're added to the local church, we are one in Christ. The Bible says there is one body, one spirit, even as ye are called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Okay? So we are one in Christ. There's one body that has to do. There's only one body. There's only one body of Christ. Christ cannot be dissected. If he's the head, everything under him must be in unity to him. Okay, that's one thing. There's one Spirit, one Holy Spirit that binds things together. Even as you are called into one hope of your calling, there's only one hope of our calling, that is to everlasting life. We're not called some to partial judgment or that. When we become a Christian, we have eternal life. That's one hope, okay? We have one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have one faith in the Bible. Some people say, oh, Rajani, no, Christians, very confusing, many interpretations. Can I say this? God only wrote one Bible. If I write a letter to my wife, every other people's interpretation is not important, only my interpretation, right? Because I wrote it to him, her, and that is the only interpretation. If you want to understand the letter properly, it's only what I think to her. Does it make sense? So when God wrote the Bible, he only had one thing in his mind. And our job is to find out what he means and then do what he says. Okay? I'll give you an example. What does "for God so loved the world" mean? It means "for God so loved the world." It doesn't mean anything else. It's just "for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So what does that mean? God loved us so much, he gave his son to die for us. If anyone believes in him, he has everlasting life. Yes? That's what it means. See, our God is not a God of confusion. By the way, you can read it for yourself. You know, one thing I like about the Christian faith is whatever I say, it's not so important. It's what God says. If it's here, then what I say is right. If it's not here, then kick me out. Okay? Then it's safe. Okay, for all. So, we are one in Christ, one faith, the Bible, one baptism. Okay? That baptism, of course, in the context of that, it actually has to do with water baptism. There's only one type of baptism, authorized baptism. Okay? If you look at the word baptizo, it means immerse into. There's two levels. One is our baptism into Christ. Okay, that's spirit baptism. Okay? when we get saved, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit actually baptizes us, immerses us in Christ. But you know what? When we talk about the local church context, it's only one baptism. Okay, there are some churches I know that will go underwater, but no, sorry, they will sprinkle. But if you choose to go underwater, they're fine too. But you know what? Even in that, there's a doctrinal difference already. There's a difference. You're trying to add different things. But the Bible says only one baptism. And then one God and one Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That means as much as you believe there are the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but the Bible is very clear, these three are one. There's only one God in this world. There's only one God. It's the true God, and all other gods are false. Okay, so according to the Bible, we need to realize as a Christian in our heart, there's only one. We realize our oneness in Christ. Okay, any questions? Okay, number two, send to Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Okay, turning backwards, Ephesians, then going backwards, Galatians, Corinthians, and then Romans. Recognize our oneness in Christ. Don't have the children to use as examples, but never mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 4. Let me just read that. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God had dealt to every man the measure of faith. Point number two, what do we do to corporately preserve the unity? We need to realize we're all different. We're all different. Do we agree? How many of you think that we're all different? We're all different. We are all different. Okay? Alright? I think recently I discovered that my brother was working in someone's condo or someone's housing area. Okay? And they could recognize my brother because we look alike. To a certain extent, not all, to a certain extent. Okay? But still we are different. Okay? Because he's 3 years older than me. Okay? I think he probably had more hair than me. I don't know. I can't remember. Alright. He works a different job than me. Both of us look different. To a certain extent. Same but different. We're all different. Even brothers and sisters in the same class. Same family is different. You realize even twins, there are some differences. Even identical twins, there are differences. Okay? That is so important for us to understand we're all different. Because you know what is the tendency? We all actually... The tendency is to... What I like, what I am, I need you to become. Because otherwise I won't be comfortable with you. But yet, realize every one of us here have different ambitions, different ways of thinking, different... And that's where God says, look, there's nothing wrong with that difference. Actually, God wants to bring us all together. So our platform, our basis is to be like Christ. So we're all aiming for that. And every one of us are individually aiming for that. And we all have different levels of faith. Okay? Some may believe stronger, some is not so strong. All right? And when we understand that we are all different, then we will not actually be so quick to judge. Okay? All right? And so we need to realize we are all different. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. You know, this I was looking for illustration. Now, the thumb is different from the finger. Right? And this finger is different than this finger. And this finger, do you realize the last two fingers are attached together? That you cannot, you see, you can move this thumb individually. Okay? You can move this finger individually. You can move this in. But when you move this, you realize this one will actually automatically pull this down also. You concentrate on the last one, you find that your fourth one will... You know why they're attached? Do you realize that without the last finger, you lose a lot of power? Without this, when you hold something, you hold it like this. But when you want power, you will press down, right? Without the little finger, people, little finger, never mind. Without the little finger, you lose a lot of power. You think about that. A hammer, when you hammer, you can't hammer with just like very lightly. You actually have to hold it tightly. And when that happens, this one actually have to come in and actually to press. And that's where the power is. Okay? Now, even the same fingers, do you realize every finger has a purpose? That without one finger, do you realize your fingernails have a purpose besides giving us the pleasure of biting it? You know what's the purpose of your fingernails? Do you realize without your fingernails, when you press like this, you will lose your power because the fingernails serves as a backing to do this. It's actually embedded inside. It serves as a backing. Of course, you don't like, sometimes people spin, but you know, it's for the form. It actually serves as a backing. But once it's gone, number one, it doesn't look very nice, right? Number two, it actually loses part of its function. Okay? There was one time, you know, realize, okay, some of you, if you look at this part, if you do this, you actually will find two tendons. Jara only has one. Okay, some of us has two, some of us has one. Okay? My lecturer in Australia, when she was teaching us the tendons, he was saying, see, I don't really know why God put two tendons there. I mean, that's redundant. So I told her, maybe you have not found out the reason yet. Oh, yeah, you're right. She's a Christian. So being a lecturer, she always thinks, she knows. But you know what? She was quick to say, well, yeah, you're right. Maybe I haven't found out the reason why. In accidents, when you have your tendons cut here, what they do is they take the extra tendon and actually shift it to the back. Interestingly, because you see, if there are two tendons, one of them is for this hand that goes down like this. But if there's a redundant one, this redundant one actually has nerves attached to it. Does it make sense? So which means that if the muscle is being attached, you can actually activate it with your brain, and then the electrical impulse will go there. And once it's being activated, it will move like this, yes? But if the tendon at the rear is cut, what they can do is use this existing tendon, put it to the back, and now when you activate it, it goes this way, which is the normal movement that you want. Does that make sense? I'll use the phrase, isn't God cool? The God will put spare parts in your body just in case. You know, your brain got a lot of spare parts that even people have suffered a stroke, they can still walk, but it's not the normal way of walking anymore. We're all different. We all have different functions. We cannot judge one another based on what we're doing because... Now, if you're doing wrong, that's a different thing. When things are diseased in the body, you have to deal with it. Yes? But yet, if the person is functioning in a different way, it doesn't mean it's wrong. And so we need to understand this teaching in the Bible that we're all different. Look at Ephesians 4 verse 7. Ephesians 4 verse 7. Realize we're all different. Realize we are all different. Let me just quickly go through, all right? Because we've got to finish this. Ephesians 4 verse 7, the Bible says, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. That simply means some of us may believe so much, some of us may believe so much, some of us may believe less, but all of us are given the grace of Christ according to who we are, our personalities. All right? Any questions there? Okay, so the second one is realize we're all different. Number three, focus on the common goal. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. Let's turn back there again. Ephesians 4, verse 2. You know, kind of back and forth. But Ephesians 4, verse 2, focus on the common goal. Realize our oneness in Christ. We're all one. But realize we are different. So what do? Focus on the common goal. Now, what is a common goal in the local church? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 2. The Bible says, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yesterday, when we did we were at the discipleship group, one of the things we mentioned about the unity of the Spirit. Do you realize in the family, the moment you are born into a family, you already have unity? You're all united already. Right? Think about that for a while. When you are born into a family, you're already united already. As a family. Right? That's a natural part of life. In other words, that's already given by God. I've already given you unity from the beginning. The moment a husband and wife is joined together, they're united. Yes, it starts there. When you have the children is part of that unity in the family already. Then, Brother Johnny, then why are families torn apart? It's not God's fault. God started well. But you know what? Man messed things up. The selfishness, pride, whatever. So in the church, same thing. When God actually saved us, he joined us to Christ. And when he added up to the church, he joined us all together. In other words, as a church, we already have unity. That's why Paul has to say, endeavor to keep the unity already there in the bond of peace. Now, let's put in your effort to keep the unity that you have already been given. That's what Paul is saying. Okay? The common goal is keep the unity. The common goal, what is the local church planning to do? What is the focus? Put all our efforts into that. Not what we want, but what God wants through the whole assembly. Okay? Focus on the common goal. Point number four. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. First Peter 1 verse 22. I'll just go through and then I'll read the verses, all right? You just try to follow along because of time. I want to finish soon in the next 5 minutes. Realize our oneness. Realize we are different. Focus on a common goal. Number four, have fervent love one another. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. That talks about salvation. You've purified your souls because your souls before you became a Christian, you were unclean, you were sinners. But seeing you have trusted Christ in obeying the truth. So what does that tell you? In order to become, to have your soul purified, it's not to try to do things or good works. The Bible says you purify your souls by obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love. In other words, my love is not pretentious of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart boilingly. The word fervor means boilingly. All right? Fever. Fervor comes from the word fever. Fever means hot. In other words, when we love, like, Uncle Roland, I'll hug him or whatever, you know, I'll do, and I'll do all I can to support him. In other words, I love one another fervently. You know, it's not like, hi, bye. Yes, in human society, sometimes, you know, because of certain differences, we may have some kind of barriers. But you know what? God says, look, as Christians, let's break that down. Let's love one another fervently. Yes, sometimes we may need to take time to work through, but you know what? Love one another. In other words, the underlying attitude should be, I love you, regardless of what you've done to me. I don't care you tear my face out. I don't care you tear my... I've got no beard, thank God. I don't care you tear my limited hair out. I don't care. Okay, certain things I need to stand for, I will, but I'll let you know. But you know what? If there is the... Even standing up for rights is something that we have to learn that. If you truly be a Christian that will be like Christ, sometimes we just have to remove that rights out of our hands and say, Lord, I'll give it to you. You take charge. I'll be a servant plainly. I will still love. Having the fervent love one for another is so important because that's commanded by the apostles. Okay? Point number five, we need to learn to forgive immediately. Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. The word malice means with an evil intention. In other words, I'm angry with you. Whatever that's happened, I have rage, I clamor. It means I'll fight. Evil speaking has the idea of speaking evil of someone. Okay, evil speaking. And then, you know what Paul says? Put it away from you. Let it not even come out from your mouth. But, on the contrary, verse 32, be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And when that's God, for Christ's sake, forgiven you. You know, there's a principle that as Christians, we will learn till the day Christ comes. We need to learn to forgive immediately as God forgave us. Okay? Then in number six, point number six, we need to learn to pray together. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 31, let me just read, all right? I know because of time, I'll just read. Acts 4:31. When they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. We need to make time to pray together. And I'm of the thinking that probably as time goes by, that we'll just focus on prayer on Friday nights, that we just pray. Yeah, we have a short devotion, maybe 10, 15 minutes, but as a church, we pray. Because you know what? The thing that will break down barriers is God. And we can access God's power with prayer. And that's something that we need to do, pray together. Okay? Point number seven, let's turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. We need to learn to serve together. There is nothing, I like, there was one time we had a match with Maranatha Baptist Church, the captain's ball, remember? We beat them, how many times already? Twice, okay? We beat them twice already. And so we met up, but you know, one of the things we wanted to do is through the game, you know, sometimes it's easy to be united when you have a common enemy. They're not our enemies, okay, but common cause, okay, we want to win, okay, so we are united with one cause, so we fought our best and we beat them, okay. But the Bible says here, Philippians 1:27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let your conversation, the word conversation means behavior. Let your behavior as is consistent with the principles of the gospel. That whether I come and see you, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye what? Stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. What was in the apostles' heart? There's only one thing, the faith of the gospel. Souls be saved, the ministry, that is what God wants us as a church. That's the focus point. That's what the Bible says. All right, unless you can prove me otherwise. The Bible says, Paul says from prison, guys, I want you to be striving together with one spirit and one mind and one heart towards this goal. As the apostle of Christ, I'm giving to you, this is the goal, this is the mission, this is the ministry. I want you to put all you can into that, okay? We need to learn to serve together. Let's turn to Ephesians 4:12 and then we'll finish. The last point, serving together. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12. Okay, feel free to ask questions after this, then we'll stop already for a break. Ephesians 4 and verse 12. Let me just read, for the perfecting of the saints. This is the ministry, okay? The word perfecting means maturing. All of us working together to mature each other. In other words, I can learn from Brother Rolando. Brother Rolando can learn from me. I can learn from Brother Taylong. Taylong can learn from me. I can learn from whoever. I can even learn from the sisters, the way they do things that will help me to improve certain areas. You know what God says? For the perfecting of the saints. You know, we're not in church to judge one another. We're in church to help one another grow, to mature one another, okay? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. What's the work of the ministry? Basically, whatever the church is doing, outreach, discipleship, attracting, VBS, youth camp. For the work of the ministry, we're all together for the maturing of the saints. We're all together for the work of the ministry. That's what Paul says. And then in verse 12, the next one, and then for the edifying, the word edify comes, we have the root word edifice, okay, which is actually a structure, and basically is to build up the body of Christ, both numerically and also qualitatively. In other words, both in character and also in numbers, to build up the work for all of the people that needs to be saved will be added to the church, okay? In verse 13, Paul says the outcome of every one of us helping one another, the outcome of all of us serving together, and the outcome of all of us having a goal of building up the body of Christ is this in verse 13, till we all come to a unity of the faith. Can I say this? It's not what you think, what I think is important, but what God thinks. Would you agree there? We need to be settled in our hearts. It's not what you think, it's more what I think is important. But if it's based on the Bible, we need to come to a unity of the faith. That is in God's heart. Because you know why? Let me just paint a historical picture. In the past, when God made all of us, we are perfectly one. With God and with one another. Yes? But when sin came in, we all went our own ways. Yes? We like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. That's why you see many families broken. That's why you see many marriages broken. That's why you see many disunity. And right now, fightings all over the place. Why? Because everyone wants to do their own thing, go their own way. But when we become Christians, you know what God says? I want our guys to bring back all our minds again as one. Okay? At the end of that, here in Ephesians 4 verse 13, till we all come to a unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a mature person, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Once again, Paul reiterates our goal in life to be like Christ. That even in the church, when we work together, our goal is still to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? And to encourage one another to do the same. All right? Any questions as we close? Questions? So seven things we do: realize our oneness in Christ, realize we're all different, focus on the common goal, forgive immediately, pray together, and serve together. There is nothing more... I just finished off with this illustration. When I was in the in-camp training, okay, in National Service, one thing we see in peacetime training, all the commanders and all the people just do their own thing. So I was talking to one tank commander, and he was being scolded by this instructor. Say, now you do this, next time in war, how? You know, because he was kind of not wanting to listen to the commander when he asked him to do this, he couldn't do that, you know. And then this, I mean, I think he was already fed up already. He's just a lieutenant, and the commander is a half colonel. So he just, the half colonel scolded him. He said, sir, when war comes, I tell you, I'll give my 100%, man. In the thing. And I had one sergeant, he's an MG commander. He's still stocky, you know, those very, what do you call that? Stout, you know, stout, short and very tough one. So he will walk around in the camp. And then he will unbutton all his uniform. And then, because I'm his platoon commander, hey, come on, sir, my king, you know, Hokkien Ping, don't scare one. He just walk. He had a kind of attitude. So there's one time we went on mission together. Okay, so you know, we have peacetime training. So as a platoon commander, I said, PC, you die, you know. Because I was you have the scenario, we're kind of in at night, then we were charging, then someone shot, I mean blanks like they shoot. Then I said, oh, PC, you die, me, I die. So I die. Then this machine gun commander actually he said some expletives first. He scolded some vulgar words first, and then he used Hokkien. How dare you kill my platoon commander? He took the machine gun and pointed to somewhere. That guy is just for fun. But it's like we almost all burst out laughing because it's so comical. Okay? He tells me what? In peacetime, he may be all this, but in war, we're all one. It was funny. You know what that goes to show? You know how similar it is to the Christian church, right? But we're all different. But you know what? When we are united among a common cause, we don't fight one another. We fight Satan. We fight the worldliness and its ways. But we need to get together. Our hearts need to be knitted to know that if God put me in ambassador, God has a purpose. I have a role to play. And when you're not in that role, something is missing. Just like in a van, there are thousands of parts. If one part is not working properly, you will feel it soon. Yes? Okay? And that's something that we need to understand. Any questions? I'm not going to go too long. Any questions? We're going to move on to something else next week, but let's pray for the unity of ambassador, that our hearts will be united. No, don't just take these lessons as, I just spoke to Pastor. Think through it. Is it true what Pastor is saying? If it's true, God help me to practice. If it's not, then clarify why, Pastor, did you say that? So that we can all come to a unity of the faith. It is so important. Any questions? Let's have a word of prayer, all right? Then we're going to take a break. Lord, thank you for this time of learning from your word. Father, I'm asking you for power. I'm asking you for your love, Lord, to overwhelm us. Because, Lord, we know that without your grace, it is impossible to do the right thing. Lord, I know you are in the process of helping us to see the unity that we need to achieve. But Lord, it is only by your Holy Spirit that we can achieve that. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We pray you speak to every heart right now. I know, Father, that your Holy Spirit will teach us, help us to be in submission to what you have for us. Thank you, Lord. Help us all to come to a unity of the faith. Father, we pray for our friends and visitors who are here, that they will begin to realize that God has a bigger plan for our lives. It's not just being a Christian, but that we might grow, that we might actually be an influence in our families, in our workplaces, to hurting people, that we might be able to be used as an instrument of Christ to help someone find Christ and eternal life. Thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. Bless our fellowship together. We pray in Jesus' name.